Over the past few years, we've been delighted to actively support the British Heart Foundation's Bag It and Beat It campaign. But this year, there's an even more interesting slant to the whole thing, given recent research that suggests that British folk have three items or more of clothes in their wardrobe that have never been worn, and six that no longer fit. That's the average, of course. One in seven actually admit to telling white lies to friends and loved ones about how much they spend on clothes. And so we seem to have a little bit of a challenge here, which certainly the fabulous folk at the British Heart Foundation will be able to address ways to cope with this. That, of course, would be regional manager of the BHF, Louise Harbour. Louise, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. And, of course, the ace fashion blogger extraordinaire and, indeed, founder of What I Wore Today and named by the Evening Standard as one of London's 1,000 most influential people, it's Poppy Dinsey. How are you, Poppy?
Great, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Very good indeed. Now, Poppy, share with us this particular line. I mean, the Hawaiian shirts, I was devastated. I mean, surely Magnum PI is going to have a revival somewhere along the line.
Well, actually, the 70s are a big trend for this season, so perhaps if you find anything that old in your wardrobe, you can actually have an excuse to roll it out again this season. But yeah, there's definitely, when we're keeping hold of things, perhaps for fancy dress or perhaps for when we finally do some decorating, it's just taking up too much space when the clothes could go to a new home, be loved, and raise some great money for the British Heart Foundation for their life-saving research.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, clearly, when it comes to style, you are the go-to person. So from that perspective, we're constantly sort of being sort out in terms of what's the current season. Would you say it's not good to hoard at the best of times? And even though it has got sentimental attachments to various items of clothing, etc., sometimes actually it's time to let go and downsize.
Yeah, I think it's better to, you know, invest in higher quality items and have less of them. I think it's important when you're shopping to actually try things on rather than assume you'll do it at home and then return them, because I know lots of people just never get round to then making the returns, and then you end up being one of these stats that have clothes that don't fit them in their wardrobe. But I try to keep on top of things twice a year. But if you haven't worn something for a year, I'd say it should definitely be going in the bag for the British Heart Foundation and let somebody else enjoy it.
Well, that might be music to your own ears, Louise, because from that perspective, again, this is a really worthy cause, unless, of course, it becomes a cyclical thing and people actually go back to the British Heart Foundation and buy back their own clothes, really. But who knows what could happen. From your own perspective, just share with us this Bin It, Bag It campaign and how it can obviously help raise funds, obviously, for the BHF.
Well, it really is our biggest campaign of the year. During the whole month of September, we're urging your listeners to bag up all their unwanted clothes, as Poppy said, but also their bric-a-brac and their books, and actually have a really good clear out and bring that along to the British Heart Foundation. Last year, we had just over 1 million bags donated across our shops in the month of September, and we're hoping to beat that this year.
Phenomenal. I mean, looking at the actual numbers, I mean, again, Poppy, from your own perspective, this particular survey, which suggests that the average female has an average wardrobe worth a little over £2,250, £2,270, and the average male is around about £1,700. That's quite a substantial amount of finance there that obviously can be converted by being resold, presumably.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely staggering how much money we spend on clothes. I think now clothes are getting cheaper and cheaper on the high street, but we're actually just buying more of them. But yeah, if it's, you might not have, you know, who's got £100, £200 to just donate to charity, especially at the moment. But clothes are a very easy thing to donate, or as Louise says, DVDs, bric-a-brac, and that can be a lot easier than donating money or time at the moment, and you'll get some much needed space in your house in the process.
And Poppy, from the point of view of clothes being, you know, time to make them redundant, etc., what would you say the criteria, I mean, is there a kind of top three questions that you should ask yourself before you decide to say, all right, it's time that particular skirt or indeed kilt actually went away?
Yeah, I think you need to think, how often are you wearing it? If you haven't worn it for 12 months, I'd say it should definitely be going in the donation bag. If you're kind of on the fence, maybe give yourself 2 weeks or a month to wear it. And if you haven't started wearing it, then it's definitely in the donation bag. And if things don't fit, I do understand, you know, like a lot of women, I like to have a small pair of jeans that I'm seeing as a goal pair, but you don't need rails and rails of clothes that don't fit anymore, and they're just taking up space. So yeah, if it doesn't fit and you're not wearing it, it's time for it to go, I'd say.
Presumably the days of hand-me-downs in families as well is probably moving on as well, because that used to be a traditional thing. Oh, well, you might no longer use it, but so-and-so, your brother and sister, might. It's just a thought. Louise, from your own perspective, any particular guilty secrets in your own closet, or is it a case of no, for the British Heart Foundation, it always gets cleared out on a regular basis?
Alex, I've worked for the foundation for over 13 years, so I have to say I am clutter-free and feel very good for it too.
Well, there we have it, you know, magically put together. And Poppy, from your own perspective, I mean, in terms of obviously the fashion icons and so on, I mean, there's always that sort of sense that, well, actually, there is this, as you said, this pair of jeans, etc. Is it something that you say, no, I could never part with that?
Yeah, I think it's okay to have a few things. Some things will always hold huge sentimental value. You might have, you know, the skirt that you wore on your first date with someone that you went on to marry, or something that you enjoyed wearing throughout university, and a few things like that, fine. But who's got the space to have drawers full and wardrobes full of sentimental items? I think the things that, you know, somebody else could get a lot of joy from, they're what needs to go in the bag, good quality items.
And that's a key point, actually, Louise, because obviously there is a sense, I mean, you know, you don't want moth-eaten tat being sort of suggested, and there are certain instances, and I possibly might hold my hand up here as well, where you might sort of think, well, I don't really want to sort of submit that to the British Heart Foundation because it just looks dreadful and it's not in good condition. I mean, you are looking presumably for good condition clothes.
Absolutely, and everything we sell within our shops is in a good condition and in that sellable condition. But even if it's not, or if you're in doubt, we are able to recycle. Nothing will go into landfill. So even if you're in doubt, please put it in one of our bags and donate it to our shops, and our volunteers and teams can certainly sift through those and get the best out onto the shop floor and get a small income for the recycling that we do.
The thing I've always been very impressed about with the British Heart Foundation is that there's a physicality. It's like real world stuff, but there are still folk who actually like to follow things through on the website, web addresses, etc. Is there a way in which people can actually follow the British Heart Foundation's campaign here? Because, I mean, again, looking at the sort of numbers, over 30 million pounds raised to help the BHF fight heart disease. Is it just a case of type in British Heart Foundation to your search engine?
Absolutely. Put in British Heart Foundation, hashtag bag it, beat it, and you'll go straight along. You can request donation bags, ask for a collection from your home, everything you need to know about the campaign, and you can upload your stories about what you've donated.
And clearly poppyd.com and wiwt.com are indeed just absolute must-to go sites for anybody who wishes to actually maintain any semblance of fashion in their style, presumably, Poppy.
That's very kind. Yeah, you can get plenty of inspiration for how to wear the clothes that maybe you're deciding whether or not to donate them. And of course, if you do end up buying anything from the British Heart Foundation when you're dropping off your bags, you'll probably get some good ideas for how to wear that as well.
It's a win-win situation, quite clearly. Poppy Dinsey and Louise Harbour, have you both had a reasonably interesting and satisfying telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today? Has it been okay for you ladies?
Oh, it's been brilliant.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much.
I take it we can hopefully connect together with you, good selves, in the not-too-distant future and see how this campaign has gone. Will you return?
Absolutely.
Excellent. A wardrobe clear out that saves lives. Yes, please. As Poppy Dinsey actually puts on her blog, poppyd.com. Let's go to our studio co-presenters, of course. Leah, we'll start off with your good self. Leah Norton, do you sort of find that sometimes you hang on to clothes beyond their effective time?
Yes, far too long. I think I'm hopefully inspired by that to go and have a clear out when I get home.
Well, there we are. And your mum, could you speak about her? I mean, is she a
she's a lot better than I am. Yeah. So, but yeah, she still might want to
favorite
have a
pair
go.
Of jeans is actually that.
Yeah.
John, yourself and clothes. I know you like to wear them, which is nice.
well, yes, I've got one or two at home that are a wee bit on the tight side. They shrunk a bit
so
in the cleaners.
So would you consider donating them to the British Heart Foundation as part of this Bag It, Bin It campaign? Or would
or any other leading charities?
Well,
yes.
Exactly. Yes. So worth sort of sorting through from that particular basis. And as we said, lots of other informational things in terms of fashion. What's your favourite sort of item of clothing, Leah?
I don't know, really. I do like wearing jeans. I find them nice and comfortable, so I do probably have more jeans than necessary.
And let's face it, when you're working with the fabulous group of folk in Tanzania, you wouldn't necessarily want to go out in a ball gown, would you?
Definitely not.
It would add to your fairy tale princess
clothes.
Approach, but
yeah.
You know, it wouldn't really help you get the work done.
Not really. Difficult to build a goat shed in a dress.
I would have thought so. Not impossible, but difficult. That's the important thing. Great stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the Make a Difference campaign in Tanzania. We shared, obviously, in the first part of the programme how you got involved with it and were inspired to do so, and obviously echoing that for future folk as well. What's the best way for people who are listening to this who sort of think, TFN, I've heard of that, we've connected with that, etc. What's the best way to actually contact the Make a Difference campaign?
They've got a website. Mm-hmm. I believe it's just GoMad, the website, or if not, they have a Facebook page, which is GoMad in Tanzania. And they've got videos on YouTube that are very interesting. Again, if you type in Go Mad in Tanzania, the videos on YouTube will come up, and that tells you more about the charity. And there's a day in the life of a volunteer video, which is very interesting. And I do make an appearance in a couple of them.
Really?
Yes, I
cameo
do.
Cameo appearances,
just
very good.
Flashes of me, but
steady
I'm there.
On. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, those are all really good ways to get in touch. And, yeah, the Tearfund website is really good as well, because it tells you a lot of information about indeed all the work that they do.
We'll find out more about that as the programme proceeds. Still to come, William Sitwell will be joining us hopefully in a few moments to talk about, I suppose, the onset of the autumnal seasons, because yeah, it's only a few weeks away before we'll be at the North of England Horticultural Society's Autumn Flower Show and Harvest Festivals, of course. Are you a big one for Harvest Festivals, John?
I do like Harvest Festival.
I thought,
yes.
The fermentation is taking place.
I like celebrating it at my local church as well.
Excellent. So we'll find out about that. Of course, it wouldn't be a Midweek Drive Morning Edition without at least one look at the John Wenham Events Diary. And we've put this one in because it was a late submission, Leah. A late submission. The Lincoln Theatre Royal on Saturday, 12th of September at 7:30 p.m. La Traviata.
Oh, right.
Maybe familiar with that. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. It could be, you know, a final sort of farewell for yourself before you go to Huddersfield.
Yeah, I bet that'll be really good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Featuring an impressive cast and accompanied by a large orchestra of over 30 musicians, Haunting Tragedy with its beautiful arias will transport you to the world in which it's set. La Traviata is, of course, an opera in four acts by...
Oh, gosh.
Giuseppe Verdi. set to an Italian libretto by Francesco Maria Piave. A love story shrouded in sacrifice and misunderstanding. Could always be your life story, couldn't it, John?
It is my life. Well, yeah, it could be.
It
yes.
could be, but it isn't.
Has the daily grind of uni, work or school already got you down? Are you sick of being crushed by unfettered capitalism and neoliberalism? Do you perhaps need something more exciting to spice up your Sunday afternoons? Well, let me introduce to you Sorry for the Inconvenience, Siren 107.3 FM's one and thankfully only comedy show. It sounds a bit like this.
Oh, I was imagining wallabies and kangaroos.
That would be
in
awesome.
An awesome kind of life or death battle.
You
where
get, you get in the pouch and you jump around in it. And
yeah,
you,
yeah, and best. You've got it's like paint gun.
Yeah,
type stuff, and you can shoot each other as you're being bounced up and down by this
it's
kangaroo.
Like, it's like the final level of Takeshi's Castle with kangaroos.
Yes,
that's Sorry for the Inconvenience. Relaunching on Sundays every week from 5 p.m. on the 6th of September. Tune in to 107.3 FM or sirenonline.co.uk.
And as part of the Festival of 800, or Festival 800, that our good friend David Lambert has been putting together, Shappi Khorsandi is going to be graced by your presence, Leah, when she performs for you
yes.
at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre this coming 3rd of September.
Mm.
In fact, that's tomorrow.
Today.
You're going to be at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre today watching Shappi Khorsandi perform at 8 o'clock. I think tickets probably all gone, but they're going to be a £10.
There was, I only bought mine yesterday and there was some left.
Well,
so
there we are. You can actually work. 1 hour, 50 minutes.
Yeah, it's quite long, I thought.
10 minutes less than this show.
Yes. But,
and we don't charge £10.
No.
So, value for money is all there. It's completely free. It's all in sense. Coming up, hopefully, we'll be speaking to William Sitwell, who has actually just put an owl video up. At least he shared an owl video, which is quite extraordinary in every sense of the word, really. Oh, we're just pulling down to all sorts of. We might have a look at owls because you can never get enough owls or blank screens on Siren 107.3 FM. 23 minutes past 9 o'clock.
On 107.3 FM, this is Siren FM.
Look on yonder misty mountain, been changing, getting a little bit better, no doubt, the doctor bit was so far out, looking through all kinds of windows. I could see I had your fun. Looking through all kinds of windows, I can see I had your fun.
Time now on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for culinary class and gastronomic gorgeousness with the broadcasting legend, who is William Sitwell.
Although he might be low on batteries. Oh, how's it going, William Sitwell?
Very well, very well. I managed to have a bit of grouse last night, so I'm feeling good about the world.
Oh, well, yes, we've passed the glorious 12th. We're now into the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, which is great stuff. And in the studio we have Aaliyah Norton, who is, I think, going for sainthood. She's off to study music at the University of Huddersfield in a couple of weeks' time. But, Aaliyah, last year, of course, you were in Africa doing what?
Volunteering. I was building toilets and water tanks and helping anyone I could.
Building toilets and water tanks in Kenya. Well, actually Tanzania, to be precise. Yeah. That's great. I mean, it restores your faith in the youth of today, does it not, William?
Oh, it's completely restored my faith in the youth of yesterday too.
Exactly.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's great stuff. And as I say, we've spoken about that at length of the programme. We have John Wenham as well. John, who's a big fan of your good self, William. He's regularly listening to you, but this time he's in the studio.
Good morning, okay. William.
Good morning.
So, harvest festivals, we've mentioned, they're coming up. We've got, of course, the food festivals. It's always a good time to have a food festival. What sort of thing, I mean, from your point of view as editor of Waitrose magazine, William, is it a case of, well, now it is the autumn, you know, forget it, the summer has been and gone, we need to be sort of stocking up on good foods for the autumn?
Well, I think that September, I always view September as, you know, the better New Year. It's more New Yearish than January, because it's the time that cooks get most excited.
It's the Jewish New Year, let's face it. So
yeah,
but
also it's the time when people come back from the holidays, and I always think it's really the start of the year, because it's when, you know, you get some of the great British ingredients, and it's the time of the harvests for, you know, it's the time of the harvest for wine if you're in the wine regions around Europe. And I think this time of the year is the year also when we start thinking about game. I mean, I had my first grouse last night, which was exciting because there isn't very much ever around. A lot of the Scottish grouse moors have been ruined by bad weather, and even the little baby grouse have been hit on the head by hailstones. They've been knocked out. So there's not a lot of that around. But then we get into the season of venison and partridge and pheasant and woodcock and snipe and all these amazing things. And plus, it's a good time in the garden for berries. It's a good time to go. You know, we can start thinking about picking sloes for gin and damson for damson vodka. We can then out blackberry and make blackberry and apple crumble. I think for a foodie, this time of year is just phenomenal. It's my favourite time of year. And if it's still warm, you know, we can still feel hopeful.
Of course.
Where I'm standing from you in London, it's sunny. So life is good. And yeah, we should go out there and build more loos, probably.
There we are. The message is full of us. We've been hypnotised by the video you shared on your Facebook site via Nova 937, which is basically blinking owls. Even Sarah Heseltine, I've noticed, has actually said she loves it. So what is it about the owl, William, that felt, I'm going to share that for my Facebook friends?
Well, if anyone hasn't seen it, I'm sure they can find a clip of it or look on my Facebook page. I posted it. It's these owls, and they're staring up at you as if you just told a joke that's fallen flat. And they stare at you, and they blink, and they just look at you completely bemused. And I could look at it for ages, these beautiful owls just blinking. And sometimes both the eyes don't blink at the same time. Sometimes it's one eye blinking and another, and their bodies don't move. And, of course, what we put our own personalities, we humanise them by looking at them. So we think of their expressions in human terms. And it's just completely charming and very, very funny. So I advise anyone who just needs cheering up today might not relish the prospect of mellow fruitfulness, just to look at those owls and you'll feel good about the world.
Leah, do the owls make you feel good?
Yeah, they look like they're judging you quite a lot, I think.
Yeah. I was reminded of many a student's Galaglot collection that I see in a few weeks' time, really. Yeah, that's what was there. John?
Yeah, what on earth are you looking at?
Yeah.
See you, Jimmy. Might be a sort of subtext you could probably use if they were Scottish owls, of course. But, you know, that's what we're going to do then. William, we haven't plugged your Soho radio show for quite some time, so let's do that forthwith. Who has been magically appearing in your wonderful weekly Biting Talk package that is, of course, available for download as well?
We had Eric Chabot, great French chef, on last week. This week we had... who do we have? Oh, Jacob Kennedy, wonderful chef. Has a restaurant called Bocca di Lupo in London, an amazing regional Italian place. He's got a ice cream parlour called Gelupo, sells gelato, and he's just opening a new Italian street food restaurant in Shaftesbury Avenue in London called Vico. He used to work for... he studied... He's incredibly intelligent. He went to Cambridge, studied tropical diseases and medicine or something rather, and he decided to cook, and he started cooking at Morrow, which is that wonderful place in Exmouth Market in London, run by Sam and Sam Clark, Sam boy, Samantha girl, that a lot of chefs have come through over the years. And then he set up his own place. Anyone coming to London should look out for Bocca di Lupo in Archer Street. It's a real gem of a place. So he's a very interesting, intelligent guy. So he was on the show. And I think I'm jealous soon. But actually, I shouldn't say that, because I probably curse my luck.
Look, she could overexcite the listener, and Nigel is prone to do that in so many ways. But we best not go there. At the end of the day, we will obviously have to check some of these things. And we will do that location report in London, which features William Sitwell's recommendations. Leah, any questions for the Sitwell Meister while his battery lasts?
I don't know, actually. Have you got any good things I could cook very cheaply? As I'm going to university, any good cheap ideas? Leftover ideas?
You know, I had an amazing dish last night, yesterday afternoon rather, in the office. It was one of Lucas Holweg's recipes where he made a tagliatelle with mushrooms and chestnuts. That's not expensive, and it was phenomenal because you get the lovely nutty bite from the chestnut. Yeah. So you chop up fry some onions, chop them up, chop up some chestnuts, cook up some tagliatelle, keep it al dente, whack it all in the same pot, bit of olive oil, salt and pepper, bit of parsley on top, glass of wine, and then cook yourself a self-saucing chocolate fondant with some ice cream, then have a nice glass of claret, then have a nice glass of port, have some cheese, then have a couple of glasses of calvados, and then go to sleep. You're happy.
Yeah, that does sound good.
That sounds like the ideal diet for a music student at the University of Huddersfield.
It does. Yeah, exactly. It's a very sophisticated music student.
You can always rely on William to go that extra stage, you know, more than beans on toast. More than that, he'll focus on that. Seriously, we have spoken actually about getting students thinking about doing budget cooking, and we might well bring you in to do that.
Yeah.
Which would be fine. We do a sort of three-way between Huddersfield, London, Northampton, and Lincoln, which is technically a four-way. But, you know, we'll get something sorted through there. John, thoughts from yourself?
Well, I like cooking myself. Not personally, you know, but I do like cooking, and I like to prepare a nice, simple dish that is nutritious and wholesome. And that is me.
That's the message of the world today. William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us whilst the battery has lasted today?
Yeah, very good. Let me do two plugs. The Weston & Wheaton Food & Flower Show that I'm opening on Saturday.
Hooray!
To come along, and I'm also going to be at the Holdenby Food Festival on Sunday, hosting a debate about local produce and whether British food culture is really working in the regions. So
we will find out more about the Western Wheel. It's just such a pity it clashes with the Burley International Horse Trials. But
that's right.
We'll get those sorts of things through. Anyway, life continues. William, will you be back with us next week?
Who can tell?
Well, the great chef in the sky, normally, that's what I call for. Chef in the sky. Will William be back next week? I think he's saying yes.
Yes,
I think he will.
I can see myself, it's golden sunrise. Young boy, open up your eyes, it's supposed to be your day. Now off you go, horizon bound, and you won't stop until you've found your own kind of way. And the wind will whip your tousled hair, the sun, the rain, the sweet despair, brave tales of love and strife.
And somewhere on your path to glory, you will write your story of a life. And all the towns that you walk through, and all the people that you talk to, sing you their song story. She's the only story of my life.
Harry Chapin, A Story of a Life, which probably actually leads neatly to this particular lady.
This is Rachel Abbott, and when I'm not producing all manner of audio goodness for On Broadcast, I always like to check out the latest news and views of Emma Tinson, Jessica Ward and other Midweek Drivettes on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM.
I can't believe, John, that you actually said, Emma Tinson, is she based in Surrey? Used to do cricket in Surrey. She's a Midweek Drivette. You met her. She's in the studios, going into her third year at the University of Lincoln, reading journalism. Isn't that right, Emma Tinson?
It is indeed.
Ah, there we are. And only a matter of weeks before you make a welcome return to the studio. Have you missed the live studio pieces, Emma, or is it a case of, no, frankly, I just have to, you know, just move on?
No, I have missed it, of course. It's a very different experience, sort of, listening to the show at home. It's very, very different. But, no, I've enjoyed listening in, but I can't wait to get back in the studio as well.
There we are. And it's a bit like weather vanes, you see. Come back, Leah Norton will be off to Huddersfield. Yes. Amazing. Leah's first show. She's done quite well, though, you know, as Eva McDonald's duly deputised replacement. Marvellous stuff. Emma, you've had a listen to the production, etc. So where do you want to actually point the listener? Come podcasts and various other times, etc. Gabriella Peralta, Richard Fitzwilliams, Arthur McKenzie, Louise Harbour, Poppy Dinsey, William Sitwell, or indeed more from Leah and various others. The floor is now technically yours, Emma Tinson.
Well, I think it's been a great show. So anyone listening out for the podcast, I would say listen to Richard's film reviews, because they're always very good. And I hadn't heard of the films he was talking about, actually, so I might have to check them out.
We moved to go and see 45 Years, or Me?
Yeah, maybe. I think I'm on the same page as Leah. It might be something that my mum might like, in fact. But yeah, no, I think it sounds like a good film, so I might have a look at that one.
Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
I mean, it sounds very sad,
so is Fantastic Four, for different reasons, as we both know.
Oh my gosh, let's not go with the Fantastic Four. That was, you know, the less said, the better, I think, about that one.
Just a sad reflection on getting it wrong when it comes to superhero movies, but never mind. As indeed Total Film Magazine said, it's amazing that the company have not been sued under the Trades Description Act. They call it the Fantastic Four. So. Anyway, sorry, carry on, Emma.
But yes, so have a listen to Richard's reviews. Also, I always enjoy listening to William and his amazing food reviews. And I found it very interesting that he was saying that this is sort of the new year of food. And that very sort of the wintry foods are coming in. I think we'll get, like, you know, you get all the coffee shops doing pumpkin lattes and stuff for Halloween and stuff coming up.
It'll soon be a year's anniversary since you first made your Midweek Drive debut, Emma.
It will be. It's been a long time, hasn't it? It's got a
far. A lot packed in. In fact, this weekend, or in fact tomorrow to be precise, Eva McDonald will be Emma Tinson, because the official press pass for the Burleigh horse trials is indeed for Emma Tinson. But I figured, well, Emma, you're not going to be up from Surrey, so we had to...
Exactly.
So there we are. Eva McDonald becomes Emma Tinson. That's for the day. You manifested the whole sort of system. And then you'll be returning. Do you want to quiz Leah about life, the universe, or maybe give us some advice on coping with Huddersfield and being a year one undergraduate at higher education in Britain?
Yeah. Well, Leah, did you say you were a music student?
I am, yes.
What kind of music are you interested in?
I'm a classical singer, but not opera, really. I'm specialist early music singer, which I don't know if that means anything to you, but it's Baroque and Renaissance music. So,
Oh, right.
Yeah, quite old music, I suppose, is what you can say. So that, and then I do play the flute, but not very well, quite well, but not
amazingly
well.
I thought you might have brought the flute in today, actually,
Leah. Did you? I wasn't sure anyone would want to hear that.
Oh!
So, yeah, it's classical music that I'm interested in.
Oh, fantastic. How did you sort of get into that? Because I mean, you find nowadays younger generations aren't as interested in classical music, but presumably you've got a certain style to your voice that suits that. So how did you sort of find that it was your passion?
Well, I started singing in a church choir when I was seven, because I went to the church and I sat in the congregation with my mum and I said, who are those people in the like funny dresses at the front?
How often people and, go to church and they say, who are those people in the funny dresses
there? And she told me and I said, I'd like to do that. So I joined the choir when I was seven, but I never really thought I could do singing as a career. I don't know. I didn't think people did that really. I thought it was just sort of a made up thing for like the X Factor and Pop Idol. But I started having singing lessons about 3 years ago, just because I thought the grades that you can get through singing, you get UCAS points for. So that was it, really. I thought
points and prizes,
extra UCAS points,
that
are we
good?
And then I thought, actually, I really like this, and people said I was quite good. So I thought maybe I could give it a go and go and do it. So that's what I've done, really.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah. Well, I wish you best of luck.
Thank you
very
much.
I hope it goes well.
Thank you.
So I'm sure you'll very much enjoy your university experience.
Even though it isn't Lincoln. But let's face it.
I know.
It's true.
Our music degree is just starting and who knows what could actually happen with respect to that. As I said at the introduction, John Wenham has indeed played cricket in Surrey. You might indeed have actually passed by the areas of Surrey that John Wenham actually played cricket in, Emma. So, John.
I might have.
Well, on the Surrey-Berkshire border, really. I mean, I was at school at Cobham in Surrey. And I used to live with an aunt and uncle at Chobham in Curry. Sorry.
Right. Chobham and Curry.
That has always, you know, those two towns have always confused me. I think there's been many a time that we've driven to the wrong one or the wrong place.
Oh, yes. Yes, and then, of course, I was at Woking. I was at school in Wokingham, which isn't a million miles away, or just outside Wokingham, a place called Crowthorne. And from there, I sort of played cricket sort of around the Berkshire, Windsor Great Park, Maidenhead and Bray, and around that area, Camberley.
And this is what you call Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, keeping it local for the people of Surrey. It's genius.
I've got family in both. In Surrey and Berkshire, so I'm familiar with all those places.
Because I well recall the time when the Tinson family effectively crossed the boundary.
Wow. It's a lovely area, actually. Beautiful area down there.
The legal ramifications, Emma's mum had to be on the case. It was a nightmare. She was already sort of working on the legal side. Who knows what was actually happening? You know, her father was just playing tunes by Madness. Didn't know. It's a nightmare. But you know, it's all panned out in the end. Have you enjoyed the summer, Emma? And are you happy that autumn's kicking in to play so you can get back down to actually getting your journalism degree in full force?
Yeah, of course. I've very much enjoyed my summer, but I'm excited to come back to university. I'm nervous because my last year, it seems very scary.
Unless, of course, you do
it's going to go really quick.
Unless, of course, you do a postgraduate degree. And let's
could hang around a bit longer.
and as you heard, of course, Gabriella is still thriving in Gibraltar. So good news there, you know. So that's always nice. And you know, just because you graduate doesn't mean to say you have to kick the midweek drive habit.
No, of course not. Never.
That's important. Let's go back to Go Mad in Tanzania and the approach from that point of view. I'm not sure, Emma, when you connected with the early representatives that we actually had when they came in and joined us several weeks ago. Actually,
that's
Emma,
right.
Would not have actually been with us from that point of view. But Leah, as you were in Prague then, you had a chance to actually experience it, obviously from the studio end of the scale from that point of view.
Any sort of thoughts, Emma, that you want to sort of raise with Leah about building toilets in Tanzania?
Yeah, I mean, I just, first of all, I have to say that, you know, I think it's an amazing thing to do, you know, the fact that you're doing all this work so charitably.
Thank you. I think it's fantastic.
So well done for that.
Thank you.
But what actually got you into it? How did you sort of find out about the schemes and stuff?
Well, Reverend Stuart Foster, who was on the show a few weeks ago, is, I've known him since I was a baby. He dedicated me when I was a baby, and he preaches at our church sometimes and was telling us about Go Mad, and he's been before, and all the amazing things that he did, and he helped a lady give birth and all these wonderful things, which maybe would have put you off, but I sat there and thought, that sounds like something really good I could do in my year out, something, it wasn't too long, so I wasn't going to be away from home too long. I didn't think I could do like a 6 months away from home that far, so I thought 3 weeks isn't too long, I can make a difference in that time. It was just something, a bit of an adventure.
It's worth pointing out, of course, that people are saying, why are they talking about going crazy in Africa? No, it's an acronym, like ostrich, outrageous suggestions taken readily in courageous hands, or indeed thrush, the hierarchy for the subjugation of humanity, which is, you know, or indeed UNCLE, United Network Command for Law and Enforcement, MAD, make a difference.
Yeah. Go make a difference
in the whole system, not go mad in Tanzania. We haven't mentioned, of course, somebody who, if he's listening to the podcast, will be devastated because he did make his debut on the show a couple of weeks ago. That's James Ward, of course.
Who's out there now and hopefully having a wonderful time. I'm sure he will be.
He will be returning to the UK on the 13th of September.
Yes.
There we are. Just in case people thought, well, it's James Ward, why would we mention him, etc. He obviously didn't cut the mustard. Of course you have, James. You know, that's important. You did that whole sort of system. So it's brilliant stuff there. And same question we put to Gabriella, actually, Emma. Would you consider actually going off to a different continent and actually saying, right, that's it, I'm going to, in the spirit of JFK and John F. Kennedy's volunteers overseas and other sort of fine folk, I'm going to go out there and civilise them in my Surrey-based way?
Yeah, no, I'd be very interested to do it. I think, like you, I'd be a bit nervous about going away for a long period of time because, you know, it is almost like going to a completely different world. It's going to be completely different. But, I mean, it's such a fantastic thing to do. You must come away with such a great feeling from it all.
Yeah, you do, definitely. And I think I agree that it's hard being away from home, especially when, like, the telephone connections aren't great, and we only
as
got
we've
to
discovered
the,
this week,
yes,
actually,
not being able to get in touch with Stuart.
Outrageous. I mean, actually, you say that we got through to his voicemail, he just probably didn't want to reply.
No, I'm sure he would have tried. The signal is not great, and the phones, I didn't understand the SIM cards.
I can see the Reverend Stuart Foster now sitting in Tanzania thinking, oh, these media darlings, they're just so tiresome. I'm constantly,
he's in such high demand.
This is the whole thing. You know, I know, I mean, and John would echo that, I'm sure, as his former chaplain. You know, we all sorted through that. Anyway, in case you're wondering, yes, I'll just rewind what I actually said when I was referring to going out there and civilise them. I realised I came across as very sort of British. No, obviously, they add to us. That we're, and there's not them and us. We are all part of the human the human family. That's be precise about this. You know?
Yeah.
Because otherwise you can... Yeah, listen, 75 years ago, World War II was started because people were actually doing
76
them and us.
Years ago.
You see, yeah. I can't even get that right. You know, it's outrageous.
But as Stuart said when he was in the studio last year, it's not only us helping them, but they also help us a lot, don't they?
Yeah, incredibly. They're so full of joy, yeah. And despite having nothing, they're not sad, they're not unhappy, they feel blessed just for what the little
they
that they have.
Simply are. Make a gratitude list today and put at the top of it just thank you for being you.
Yeah.
There we are. It's like Mike Dooley. It's all over again. Emma, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have. It's been lovely.
Excellent. next week, of course. And you will confirm we did actually play the request for Katie Grimmison, of course. So that was, so she got her years and years, even though I couldn't work out what she was saying last night. It's a Birmingham accent. So make a difference in Birmingham. Will you be back with us next week for another Telephonic Link? Probably just ahead of Tara Bennett, who's back with us. And we've got ACE agent Anna Kerslake, who's responsible for folk ranging from Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman, and Tyne Daly, one of the original sort of Cagney and Lacey people, and more.
Fabulous.
It's more and more exciting. Will you be joining us for that, Emma?
Yes, I will. It sounds like a great show.
So there we are. She will return. Hey, would you like Coldplay or would you like Britney Spears? No choice, really, but still. Which one are you going to go for, Emma?
Oh, let's go with Coldplay.
Good choice. Martin in capturing the magic of life. Viva la vida. This has been the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Alex Levchuk pressing the occasional button with Leah Norton and John Wenham. And thanks certainly to Gabriella Peralta, Richard Fitzwilliams, Harth McKenzie, Louise Harbour, Poppy Disney, William Sitwell, Emma Tinson, and you, dear listener, for being with us. That's it, John. Have you enjoyed the production?
It's been a wonderful production, as usual, Alex.
Teresa is waiting for you in the office. She will be listening to this, don't worry.
It's no.
She's tuned out, basically. She's probably sort of chilling out with some sort of hip-hop music, yes. as it's her want, really. Leah, your first production for the Midweek Drive on Siren FM. Has it been okay for you?
It has. It's been lovely. Thank you very much for having me.
So will you be joining us again telephonically? Or maybe in person when you come back at Christmas?
Yes, I certainly can, if you'll have me.
I think we'll probably sort of pass the test, really. I'd have all the complaints from John if we said that. So it's all great stuff. Coming up, a whole heap of other goodies as far as Siren 107.3 FM is concerned. Plus, of course, the drive time and lots of other good stuff, including Sound and Nick's Vision. Volume 9 is actually out this evening, just ahead of the Rock Train. That's it. It's time to say happy trails, farewell and goodbye. So, Leah Norton and John Wenham, can you join me in saying farewell? A 1, 2, 3.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Forgive me if I act a little strange, for I know not what I do.